We have a value statement on our website, and there we go. That's the page of our website, and it says values, and then it lists our values, gives a little explanation of each one, and then links you to a an MP3, which, as I'm now going to redo the first one, it'll have to link you to another one in the future. But the point about our values is that we believe as a church that it's all about relationship. We believe that relationship is the absolute key to living out our Christian life. And so this is going to be an intermittent series that we're calling This Is What Matters. It's what matters to us. I was talking to another pastor in the city the other day, and I said to him, do you have a list of values for your church? And he said, well, do you know, he says, I've been wondering about this. He said, we haven't. And he says, I've been thinking. He said, the other charities I see have all got a value statement. And there is a certain amount of this being a thing of our times. But I think it's a really good thing that as a church, we can say, well, people have got their values, but our values make a world of difference. And if you adopt our values by adopting our Jesus, then you will see a massive change and impact in your life. So relationship is what we're going to talk about. So my first question is this. Are we pushing religion? And I would say to you, no, we're not. We're pushing relationship. That is the fundamental difference. Now, you could say, well, I've been with you this morning. I've seen what happens. You do all this singing. You can get quite emotional. You can get a bit clappy. And you know what? I don't understand when people criticize Christians by being happy clappy. You know that. You've had it fired at you, haven't you? What on earth's wrong with that? What on earth's wrong with being happy? And what's wrong with being clappy? I mean, have you ever been to a football match? Now, you see, I used to say, I used to give this as an example, and then people would say to me afterwards, but you've never been to one, have you? So a couple of them took me to a football match. So I have once in my life, I have been to a football match in a major stadium. And I'll tell you what, you go deaf by the end of it. The noise in a football stadium, I tell you what, people have no problem expressing themselves, their support for their team. It's absolutely tremendous. And people say, well, don't you think it's a bit much in church? Good grief. No. People go barmy over kicking a leather ball full of gas around. And we're talking about the Son of the of all life, the one who came to save us. Shouldn't we get excited?
Yes.
Of course we should.
Yes, we should.
And the point about our excitement is not that we're doing this because it's a rule written down somewhere, not because we have a certain set of things that we follow, but because we know the person. Now, Hazel told me earlier that she met a guy out of Take That. She's got the Take That t-shirt on today. And she'd met a guy in the hotel where she used to work. And I thought, how tremendous. But you see, she was so busy, she didn't get his autograph. And actually, that's how it ought to be, isn't it? I was on York Railway Station once, and I could see this guy sat down, and I thought, I know you. And I went and sat next to him. He said hello, and I said hello, and we chatted, and something kicked off, and I said to him, I just have to go over and help, and I just went and helped with this situation, came back and sat down, and we chatted a bit, and I never said to him that I knew who he was, that he was... I can't remember his name now, but he was, for many, many years, in my mind, he will always be the man who talked to Basil Brush. Uncle Derek, was it? Or Derek Fowles. Derek Fowles. He was also in Yes Minister and some of those other things, and some really serious TV drama as well. And, you know, it never occurred to me to get him to sign anything. He was just very pleasant to talk to. But, you know, I have no relationship with him. I mean, the truth is, well, he's dead now, isn't he? But I have no relationship with Derek Fowles. I just met him once, and I exchanged conversation with him for 5 or 10 minutes whilst I was waiting for a train. But Jesus, this is the difference between religion and relationship. Jesus, I know him. I know him. I talk to him all the time. And he talks to me. And that is...
relationship.
Thank you. That is relationship. That's what we're, if I dare say, it's what we're selling. This is not some snake oil. This is not some fake stuff. We are talking about a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Now, I went to see my pastor when I was a single man. I don't know, I was probably about 19. And I went to see him and I said, Pastor, I'm praying that I'll get a wife. And he looked at me and smiled and said, faith without works is dead. Which was no help at all, really. But when it's settled in my mind, when I understood what he meant, was he was saying, well, you can pray all the time, but unless you're looking as well, you're unlikely to see God's provision. And of course, very quickly, I opened my eyes and I saw the beautiful Pauline. And we've got Frank with us this morning, and Frank was telling me he's been married 40 years. And I was saying to Frank, well, we're just a year behind you. We've been married 39 years.
Wow.
But you know, faith without action is dead, because God is relational. You know, you can say, well, I've been to church, I've been in a place where I know that God turns up, but unless you have made the step to say, hey, Jesus, can we talk? Then your religion might be in place, but your relationship might not be functional. God is relational. And if you can't quite see what it says on that ticket, oh, I think you can looking at that, faith without deeds is dead is on his toe tag. Oh, thank you, Ariel. This is amazing, isn't it? What support, technical support we're getting.
We walk with him, we talk with him.
And he tells me that I am his own. Yeah, do you know, I'd forgotten that song. It's a lovely song. Yeah, that's right. So, Jesus has always wanted to engage with us for teamwork. You see, Jesus said to us, you've heard of the Lord's Prayer, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Right, now I ask you, let's use a little bit of human logic here. If Jesus told us to pray that, it must mean that that isn't always the case. We wouldn't be told to pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done unless the prayer was necessary. Jesus told us to join with him in praying that the kingdom of God would come, that the will of God would be done. You know what? As the shells are falling in the Ukraine today, do you honestly believe that's the will of God?
No.
No, of course it's not. We have to be part of the answer. We have to be part of making the Lord's Prayer evident in our social world by bringing the kingdom and bringing the will of God as it is in heaven. And you see, the clue is in the phraseology, because Jesus says the kingdom has come and the will has been done in heaven. It's here that we need to pray for it to come. So why does Jesus tell us to do these things? Because he wants to walk with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to join with him in bringing the change that this world needs, the change that our glorious England needs, the change that the Western world needs, the change that the whole world needs. Jesus wants us to be part of the answer. You can only do that by relationship. You can't do it by having a long distance relationship. Now, I hope you're going to keep praying for Carol, because she is married to a man that she hadn't seen him for a couple of months. It's going to be another month before he's here. And so we lift him up. We lift up Jude. I want you to pray for him every day. We lift him up, and the kids too. But you know, of the others that have come this through our doors that have been like this as well, and you know, God has sustained them, and God will sustain you, Carol. He's there for you. But in all of these things, relationships at a distance are a challenge. And for those who are just courting, long distance relationships are a real problem.
Turn to sender.
Oh. Can you sing the song? Oh no, that's a shame. You know, it's so important that we try not to have a long distance relationship with God, but we need to engage with him day after day to make that relationship real. How do we do that? Three words: pray, listen, read. Now look, when I was a kid at Sunday school, they taught me a song, and if you know it, don't embarrass yourself. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And then the next verse goes higher. So I'm not going to attempt that. Now, do you know what? You've got to pray. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. You've got to talk to God. Tell him how you're doing. You might say, well, he knows, doesn't he? Yes, he does, but he wants to hear from you. When my wife comes home from work, I can tell by her face what sort of a day she's had. But I still need to hear from her. In our family, we have always tried to make evening meal a time when we share the niceties of the day, when we share the goodness of God with each other. And sometimes we have to share the not so niceties of the day. But you know, it's so important that to keep the relationship alive, that we talk. And God wants to hear from you. Another Sunday school song comes to mind. Now, this is not going to be Steve Redman singing a load of songs, but Ring Up on the Telephone to Jesus, if some of you remember that. He's waiting for you at the other end. Tell him all your troubles and your sorrows. He will tell you he's your loving friend. Great song. And you know, that's stayed with me all of these years, because when I was a teenager, I talked to God. And you know what? When I did the second thing, listen, he talks back. Now, when Melody did her medical training, she had to do, I don't know, 6 months, was it 4 months, I don't know, in psychiatry. And it came up in the conversation, so I said, look, Melody, how do they treat people who hear voices? And she said, oh, I know where you're going with this, Dad. If they hear God, that's not an illness. But if they hear somebody else that's not in the room, that's an illness. And I thought that was interesting, that even medical people make a difference to hearing God and hearing anybody else that's not there, like Darth Vader or well, yeah, let's move away from Star Wars, maybe.
I don't like Star Wars.
But you see, it's important that we understand that God does speak to people. and he speaks to me, but you have got to listen. You know what? It's about learning how someone's voice sounds. I read this book when I was 18, maybe coming up 19. A book which I've still got in my little office, although there's not many books left in that one, they're all at the new one now. But this book told this story of a man called Harry Greenwood, how that he'd done a mission in a town and set up a church, and his mission was over and he had no money, absolutely not a penny, but he was hungry. And he walked down the street and he heard the voice of God say to him, "Harry, go in this restaurant and order anything on the menu you want." So he went in this restaurant, he took a heck of a long time choosing and eating. And then after his dessert, he thought, "I'll ask for a pause for the coffee because I don't know what's going to happen now when the bill comes." And it was the type of restaurant where they bring the bill to the table and then on the way out you go to the cashier and pay. And he was looking at this cashier and he thought, "I don't know that person. I don't know anybody anyway in this place." And he decided in the end that he would have to get up and face the cashier. So he went to the cashier. One person being served in front of him. The cashier finishes off with this man. And then the cashier says, "Just a moment, sir, we're just changing shift." Goes in the back. Another man comes out and he says to him, "Oh, hello." He says, "Aren't you the preacher, Harry Greenwood?" "Yes, I am." "Oh, Mr. Greenwood, please allow me to pay for your meal tonight." Now, this was the funny thing. Harry put his hand inside his jacket to go for the wallet that wasn't there and said, no, I must pay. And the man said to him, "No, Pastor, I insist." And he didn't argue the second time. And he walked out skipping because God had provided for him. Now, I got down on the side of my bed and I said, "God, I want to hear your voice like that." And you know what God said to me? He said, "I want you to go and hand your notice in." Now, I had just got this fantastic job. I thought it was a job for life. I was really, really loving this job. And for 3 days, I said, "No way, I'm not doing that." On the third day, I was a grumpy, irritable person because I had resisted God's spirit, got down the side of my bed and said, "God, I'm just going to tell you this now. I'm very sorry. I'm going to go now to my boss's house and have my notice in." I got up off the floor and I heard the voice of God for the second time in my life. And he said to me, "Stephen, you don't have to do that. But I had to know that you would do it when I do mean it. I will ask you again, and next time I don't want an argument." And he asked me again 23 years later. 22 years, I don't know, something like that. Now, in the meantime, God spoke to me amongst many things. And you know what? God speaks to me, and God will speak to you, but you have to learn what his voice sounds like. Pray, listen, and read. And reading the scriptures, reading the Bible, will help you learn what his voice sounds like. If you haven't read your Bible, start in the New Testament and work your way through and then go back through the Old Testament. There are lots of methods. If you have a mobile smartphone, get the YouVersion app, and that will even read a portion to you every day. It's brilliant. You can choose your version of the Bible. There are lots of different versions, and that means you can have a bit of variety, which is useful.
Alison Gumbel.
Oh, you listen to him. David Suchet is often heard in our house. what's he called? Poirot. It's very often heard in our house. Pray, listen, read. Do you know what? You keep doing this and it makes such a difference in your life. Don't say to me, well, I've tried every day for a week. Don't give me that. Try every day for a year. It won't take that long. But be consistent. Be consistent and you will find a difference. Right. Psalm 115, one of my favourite psalms. It says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. This, it's ours. This is ours.
My favourite ecclesiastics.
The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. Now, it wasn't good for man to be alone. Do you remember that back in Genesis? It says it wasn't good for man to be alone. You know what? God wants to be there for us so that we aren't alone. Yes, he inhabits the highest heavens and we have our place too, but he wants to have a bridge between the two, and Jesus is that bridge. And we can bridge the great divide thanks to the cross. It wasn't good for man to be alone. God gave man authority over the realm in which he lived. So we don't have authority over the heavens yet. We have authority over the realm in which we live. And God offered him relationship. It appears from Genesis chapter 3 that every day, as the cool of the evening set in, that God would come down and walk through the garden with Adam. Walk through. Can you imagine that? God would walk with Adam. Can you imagine what they would talk about? It would be things like, well, Adam, what sort of day have you had? Oh, well, God, I was walking around and I found this huge beast. It wades in the water and it sort of floats on the top. Yet it's so big and so heavy, you can't imagine how it could float. And God says to him, oh, yes, that's a Latin name. And Adam says, well, I think I'll just call it hippopotamus. And God says, okay, in future we'll call that hippopotamus. And, you know, it was just a great relationship that they had. But it all went sour. It went sour when the serpent beguiled him. And don't please blame Eve for all of this. Because Eve gave the fruit of the tree of the knowledge to Adam to eat. It says, to her husband who was with her. Adam was there the whole time. Eve just was the one who plucked it from the tree. So God had a relational plan, not a religious plan. His relational plan, he says to the serpent, I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. This is talking of the woman's seed. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That was totally fulfilled on the cross of Jesus. Jesus struck the serpent's head, and because of the way the nail was put between, usually the two legs were crossed and one nail was put through the two of them, it would cause massive hemorrhaging bruising around the heels, and was fulfilled on the crucifixion of Jesus. God reached out to them. In Genesis 3, it says, the Lord made clothing out of skins for Adam and his wife. This is a really important thing that we mustn't miss. God made the first animal sacrifice. And he skinned the animals and he made clothing for them. Why? Because they had suddenly realized they were naked. And you have to ask yourself, well, what's that about? I don't understand. They'd been naked all the time. Why were they suddenly naked? This was about the glory of God that had surrounded them, that had gone in an instant when they committed the first sin. It wasn't that they'd ever had clothes, it was that they'd had a coating of glory, which was now gone. And so God gave them a coating of sacrifice, a coating that had cost something its life. And Jesus indeed did the same, reaching out to us. God walked with those who walked with him. If you read your Bibles, you'll see God walked with Enoch, God walked with Noah, God walked with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. It talks about these people and saying that God walked with them. God walked with Adam. He wants to walk with us. And we just have to appreciate that that is God's aim. It never, ever in a million years was God's idea that we would stand here swinging incense, wearing frocks and making loud cries, all of that stuff that you see in some of these churches. And I'm not knocking it totally. You know, some people, it does something for them. But it was never about the religion. It was always about the relationship. That's why it's such an important value to us as a church. The Bible goes on to talk about the second Adam. It says the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus is called by the book of Hebrews, and 1 Corinthians, called the last Adam. This is where Jesus comes into our world. It says the word became flesh and moved into our neighbourhood. Jesus comes as a man from heaven to replace the man who was made from dust. So there is one Adam, there is another Adam. The first Adam messed up, the second Adam gets it right. And we will bear the image of the heavenly man. We will bear the image of Jesus. So, bearing the image of the heavenly man, wouldn't that be a great epitaph to have on your headstone? He bore the image of the heavenly man. It'd be a great epitaph for any of us. But you know, ultimately, it's about what relationship you had in your life with Jesus. So, goodness me, did I really type it that small? Romans 5, and not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation is a long word. It just means God's made peace with us through Jesus. It's great. Fantastic. Jesus said, if you know me, you will know my Father. That's so good. If we know Jesus, we know the Father. That's all we need to know. Ephesians 1, God predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favour and will. You know, how wonderful that we can become God's family by adoption. We understood that, and that... We understand that, don't we?
Well, there's a song, isn't there? We're adopted in his family.
Yes, we are adopted in his family. It's so important that we understand that you have been adopted by God. You are not a child who was produced at random, but you are a child who was chosen. That's the wonderful thing about adopted children, they're chosen. 2 Corinthians 5, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus didn't know what sin was. Well, he didn't know what it was, but he'd never done any. Jesus had never done anything wrong. But he made him on the cross to be the sin bearer, the sin carrier for us all, so that we, out of a wonderful arrangement, Where God gives Jesus the sin, we are given the righteousness of God in him. What's righteousness mean? It means right standing with God. We get to stand in the presence of God, not cower on the floor. That's pretty amazing to me. You see, Christianity is not a religion where you do some things and don't do others. It's a living relationship with God through Jesus. God wants to walk with us all. He doesn't have favourites. He doesn't. He just wants to walk with us all. That's amazing. So it's all about relationship. You will hear us say that in this church regularly. I just felt it was important today that we revisited it. But the Bible is all about relationship. If you start in Genesis, like I've mentioned today, you can work through all the pages and you'll see on every page that God is trying to establish relationship. God is therefore all about relationship. Jesus, who established relationship with us, is all about relationship. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is all about relationship. And so the church should be all about relationship, which is why we favour this simple phrase. So this is what you'll read on our website. It says, we believe that being a Christian is all about relationship, a vibrant and connected walk with God the Father through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that living in relationship with God is the best choice we can make, and that life is great when that relationship is well maintained. We also value our relationships with the people of God, the church, and we always seek to have good relationships within the wider community. Therefore, everything we seek to do, we aim to accomplish through relationship. That, my friends, is the main point of being a church for us. That is the thing that we talk about. There are other values on our website, you can read them, and as the weeks go on, I will revisit those and go through them with you. But I want to say today, it's very important that we must do a couple of things to understand what relationship with God means. We first of all got to check that we've got a relationship. And if we haven't got a relationship with God, we need to do something about it. We must build relationship with God's people. There's a thing that's going round that's been very big the last 20 years or so, a bit of deconstructionism, that people say, oh, well, I love God, I love Jesus, but I don't do church. Do you know what? Church was always God's plan. God plans for us to be a group of people together. Do you know what? Bill, I love you, Bill. I do. How many years have we walked together now, Bill? 18 years, something like that?
It's 2005.
Yeah, it's a long time, you know? Bill is a great bloke. Now, would Bill and I have naturally met in the street and become friends? Probably not. But do you know what? I count him as more than a friend. He's a brother. Now, that is building relationship with God's people. Thank God for the people that God puts across our path. You know what? Gwen's a wonderful woman. If you don't know her, you should get to know her. You know, so many of us, we have something to add. Thank God for what we have to add. We need to build relationship with God's people. We must also look to have a good relationship with those who are outside. Let me give you some good news. On Saturday morning, Virgin reconnected our phone at the new office. Wonderful. A week last Tuesday, they cut it off. It's taken ages. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I was on the phone with them one night for 3 hours and 25 minutes. Now, with the best will in the world, your pastor is a very mild-mannered man. But after 3 hours and 25 minutes, I was at the end of myself.
End of your tether.
I was at the end of my tether. That was the end of your tether. I was at the end of the tether down the street. I tell you what, I'd had enough. But I have to remember this relationship issue, because ultimately it's up to me to treat them better than they deserve. Let me remind you, we shouldn't have a reputation for falling out with people. God help us.
Amen.
Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are a God of relationship and that you have reached out to us and offer us relationship. Father, we thank you for your goodness and greatness. And we just pray that you would help us to pray to you, to listen, to read your word. Help us to work on our relationship with you. We recognize this doesn't come in an instant, but we thank you it does come. We thank you for your voice speaking to us from time to time. And Lord, we praise you for reaching out to a people like us. God, will you help us today? Will you help us to be the people you need in this city? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.